Today with Joseph Prince.
You know, fast is not just giving up something. It's because you want to spend time in something. All right? It's not just cutting off something. It's because you got no time, so you give up your lunch and focus on something. Even you have snacks and you are reading the word. It's a form of fasting. All right? You don't fast for nothing. Some people fast for the wrong reason, to become slim. That's not fasting. That is dieting. Make up your mind, okay? So, something about the Word of God, when you spend time in the Word of God, Jonathan Edwards says, when I read the scriptures most, I'm most lively. Have you had the experience of life? Oh my goodness, that word was so good. I feel alive. Or you leave the church, or you leave your quiet time with the Lord, and you feel alive. Get ready. That life is a preceding force of health. You can tell people's faces by how radiant they are, all right, based on the time they spend in the Word. When you see somebody with a face that's depressed, morose, okay, you know they don't spend enough time in the Word, because you cannot spend time in the Word without your face shining. Are you ready for the Word?
Yeah.
Praise God. Let's go right into the Word. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to share something about the power of imperfect faith. When your faith is weak, your faith is actually strong. Okay, what am I saying? Many of us, when we come to God, we don't tell others, but actually we are very conscious of doubts in our hearts. We are still conscious of unbelief, disbelief, and we are wondering to ourselves, is this forfeiting me of God's answers? Is this costing me? Does God hear me? Because I am conscious that I am believing yet I'm doubting. How many have been there before? Believing yet doubting. All right, a few people. God, just take down notes, Lord. How many people, you come to God, you are believing yet there's doubting? Okay? Okay, praise God. Now, this message is for you. I want to share with you, and we'll continue from where we left off, but it's a complete message by itself. Let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? What did he find in the natural? Abraham, our father. He's the father of faith. Okay, wonderful as Moses is, his title is not father of our faith. Wonderful as David is, his title is not father of faith. Abraham has a title, both for Jews as well as Christians. And also for the Arabs, all right, they claim Abraham as their father, which rightly so true, Ishmael. So what did Abraham find according to his flesh, his self-effort? If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Next verse. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So if you work for something, God cannot give it to you by grace. Now you will hear me pounding this on you. I was just sharing with some dear brothers the other day, telling them that from our church, and I told them that we can hear 10 consecutive messages on grace, week after week after week after week. The 11th week, we hear a mixture. We can forget all 10. There's something about our flesh. Have you found that so? Yeah. That we have this natural propensity towards legalism, towards works, towards performance, you know? And the moment we forget grace, therefore it goes to illustrate, grace is not natural. It takes the Holy Spirit for us to understand grace. And many a times, even after we are blessed, you know, we start saying, oh man, I don't deserve this, you know. Why did God, people who have heard grace, oh darling, you know, what a beautiful sunset, what a beautiful place to be in, we don't deserve this. Since when we deserve anything from God? If God goes by what we deserve, it is hell, fire, brimstone, place of darkness. Terrible. There's fire, but yet it's dark. But to him who does not work, in other words, he rests and believes on him who justifies the ungodly. Not justifies the godly, justifies the ungodly. And I said last week, why, how come a thrice holy God, a God whose righteousness is inflexible, whose holiness is spotless, how can he justify the ungodly? There must be a basis by which he does this. and the basis is the cross. All right? So if you believe in Jesus and what he has accomplished for you, you believe in the Father who justifies the ungodly because of his Son, your faith is counted by God as righteousness. What kind of faith? Not faith in faith, faith that believes in what God has said about his Son. God said his Son took your place, you say amen. All right, by the way, amen, aleph mem nun, three letters in Hebrew, amen. All right, it's what it used just now when it says, go back to verse 3. It says in the Old Testament, Abraham believed God, it was counted to him. The word says Abraham in Hebrew, amen, God. All right, Abraham, amen, God. Today you go to Israel, you ask them what is the word for faith. They will tell you emunah, which is aleph, mem, nun, with a hey, and a vav and a hey. All right, that tells you what? Emunah with grace, faith in grace, amen. Grace produces faith, you can put it that way as well. So amen comes from emunah. It's the first part, amen, emunah, amen. All right, so amen is believing God. So when you say amen, you are releasing faith. All right, so it tells you very clearly that this kind of faith, a faith that believes in a God who justifies the ungodly. Amen. And one day the world will hear when Jesus comes again, they will tell us, you lied to me. You told me a God who justifies only the godly, only the good people, a God who justifies only those who perform right. You lied to me. You never told me the good news. The world will point fingers at the church and say, you lied. Because we never told them that God today justifies the ungodly. It is as ungodly, the position of ungodly, when you take the posture of the ungodly, God justifies you. Of course, you don't remain ungodly after that. Amen. All right? Once you are saved, amen, it's like salvation is like the swimming pool, full of the Spirit, the water. When you jump in, there's no way you cannot be holy. You cannot be under grace and not be holy. Any more than you can be underwater and not be wet, I think. So people argue you can be in the water and not be wet. Pastor Prince, you must teach people to be wet. All right? You must teach them to be in the water. That's like the grace of God is like water. You touch grace, you touch holiness. You touch grace, you touch power. Amen. And you touch grace. Grace is a teacher, the best teacher there is. We saw last week, we don't need Hagar to bring up Isaac. Sarah is enough. Hagar being the law, Sarah being grace. We learned that last week, amen? Are you with me? Now, I want you to know something before I go to the message again. I just want to show you something that I learned from the Lord just recently. This came straight from heaven. And you know, I've been preaching from this passage, Proverbs 4, for the longest time. In Proverbs 4, it says, my son, all right, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. And then the result is this, look at verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. All right, so one day I was meditating on this and I felt the Lord tell me something. Look it up in Hebrew. They are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So this is the only medicine from God that when it heals you, for example, some medicine when you take, right, you read the fine print, they say that may cause rashes. All right, so it cures your red eyes, but it makes your body red. And then there's some other medicine, all right? They say, all right, take this if you're a running nose, all right? It's a running nose medicine, okay. So you take the running nose, then you read carefully, it may cause diarrhea. So the nose stop running, and then something else start running, okay? Now, we are not putting this down, all right? We're not putting down medicine. Thank God for doctors. They are fighting the same enemy God is, all right? We thank God for doctors. It's an honorable profession. But what I'm trying to say is that whatever man produces can never come to the standard of God. Amen. God's standard, God's medicine is health, verse 22, to all. Say all. All. In Hebrew, kol. Kol. All right, kol, K-O-L. Means every part. Not a part is missing. God's word is health to all your flesh. So in other words, when you take God's word, you might not even know you have a liver trouble in the making. But you know what? As long as you're taking God's word, all right, it's health to all. includes your liver, your eyeballs, your hair, your skin, your intestines. You know, I can go on all the names of the different parts of our body, and even parts that we don't even realize is important. But all means all. And it's not spiritually, it's not spiritual health here. The word here, health to all their flesh. Basor in Hebrew, which means body. All right, literally your body. And health here is the Hebrew word marpe. When you go to the hospital in Tel Aviv, in Israel, whatever, they give you marpe. Until today, they use the word marpe for medicine. God's word is medicine to all your flesh. So when I was preparing this, this is not preparing for this message. This revelation came to me somewhere this year, earlier on. But, you know, when I was preparing this, God brought this to mind and told me that it'd be a good time to share with all of you. Okay? All you got to do is spend time in the Word, and the Word does something to you. Let me read to you something that a great man of God said. His name is Jonathan Edwards. You may know him as the guy, the great revivalist. All right, Jonathan Edwards said this, "How it comes about, I know not. But I have noticed that at those times when I have read the scriptures most, I have been most lively and in the best frame." Yo. When I have read, I have noticed, he said, can I explain it? But I have noticed, and I have noticed that as well. The reason I wrote this down, because his statement, and I'm sure that some of you have not heard this for the first time, but I've said it again and again, because I've experienced that. That the more I read the scriptures, I can't explain. I may be tired, you know, it's not a quick one. I'm not talking about a quick one. I'm talking about really there are times of just, you know, fasting in the Word. You know, fast is not just giving up something. It's because you want to spend time in something. All right? It's not just cutting off something. It's because you got no time, so you give up your lunch and focus on something. Even you have snacks and you are reading the Word, it's a form of fasting. All right? You don't fast for nothing. Some people fast for the wrong reason, to become slim. That's not fasting. That is dieting. Make up your mind, okay? So, something about the Word of God, when you spend time in the Word of God, Jonathan Edwards says, when I read the scriptures most, I'm most lively. That is Old English for I feel so alive, and I'm in the best frame, referring to his body. Okay? So that is very interesting, isn't it? So the Lord told me to look this up in Hebrew. And before I look verse 22 up in Hebrew, because that's where the clincher is, they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Long before God's word becomes medicine to your flesh, you will sense life. Yeah, all right? Have you had the experience of life? Oh my goodness, that word was so good. I feel alive. Or you leave the church, or you leave your quiet time with the Lord, and you feel alive. Get ready. That life is a preceding force of health. You sense life, but your body is experiencing marpe, medicine. Okay? So I look up this verse in Hebrew, but before I show that, I want to show you something remarkable about God's word in Hebrew. Today, God, there's a bit of Hebrew, okay? All right? I love Teh Tarik, so I Hebrew. The special tea for you, okay? So you guys are ready for some Hebrew. Hebrew is like Chinese. It reads from right to left. Okay, so let's go to Genesis 1:1. The very first verse of the Bible is Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'eretz. Exactly 7 words, all right, in Hebrew, reading from right to left. Okay, have you noticed that Aleph Taf, et, is untranslated? And that the first letter, Aleph, is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Taf is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Remember, Jesus came as a Jew. All right? And he spoke to his fellow Jew. I am Alpha and Omega. That's Greek. Greek numerals. All right? The first letter of the Greek is Alpha. The last letter of the Greek is Omega. But Jesus wouldn't have spoken Greek to his fellow Jew. He would have said, I am Aleph Taf. In other words, who made the heavens and the earth in the beginning? In the beginning, Bara Elohim, God. And he put his signature there. I am Aleph Taf. He said in the book of Revelation, I am Jesus, the first and the last. Can you see that? When you ask the rabbis, why is it not translated? Or you ask any of your Jewish friends, they cannot come up with a solid answer. They say it's a sign of something. Well, the sign came and said, I am the sign. I am Aleph Taf. Okay? So there are exactly 7 words. By the way, Ivan Panin, a great mathematician. He says not only are there seven words, but you look at all the letters, you count them together, they're all multiples of seven. Throughout, it's a mathematical phenomenon. All right, so for mathematicians, you'll find this one verse is amazing. But we're not going into that. I just want to show you something. Put them all together, seven words, and you have the Jewish menorah. The menorah that God told Moses to create, all right? It is a seven-branch menorah, all right? This is found in the tabernacle of Moses where it lights up the holy place. It's like the light of the church, and that's why the menorah is a picture of God's people gathering together. It's the church. Remember the seven menorah in the book of Revelation? Bible says there are seven churches. So John turned around and saw the seven lampstand. And even here, seven branch. In the midst of it, John saw Jesus. So he is the central chef. And if you look real close, the left tree and the right tree, they actually point towards the central chef. That means all the testimonies of the church points to Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we're not here to promote anybody, not even Joseph Prince. All right, the church is a place to promote Jesus Christ. And only one name and one name only, the name of Jesus. Amen. I get worried when people talk about me so much, but if they talk about my message and what Pastor Prince is sharing in reference to that, I'm glad. Amen. Because Pastor Prince points people to Jesus. Amen. All right. If anything, I'm just a good pointer. All right. God chose me because when a small boy in primary school, all right, things go wrong, I point. Amen. So God used that for his glory. Amen. And today I'm just pointing people to Jesus. All right. Any need you have, just point to Jesus. Amen. So we have the menorah, and notice the Aleph Tav is in the center and it's untranslated. You see the E-E-T there, all right, at Aleph Tav. That's the signature of Jesus, the first letter and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, okay? So we have a menorah here, because why? Seven branch. The original menorah is seven branch. Today we have in Israel, nine branch menorah, which is the Hanukkah. Okay, the Hanukkah is not exactly a Bible menorah. When we talk about Bible menorah, it's always seven branch. All right, but the Hanukkah has its place. Okay, in Zechariah, you talk about the two trees around the seven branch, two becomes nine branch. Okay, so the thing is this, seven branch is what God told Moses. Okay, are you with me? So the Lord asked me to look up verse 22, and verse 22, they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. You know what I found? I found this. All right, ki chayim him imotzehim. We call basro. Is it basoro? All right, your flesh, marpe. Literally seven words in Hebrew. Okay, so let's put them in the menorah. Seven words in Hebrew. They are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Do you see that? It's also a menorah. Now, not every verse is a menorah. But when you find a menorah, there are mysteries there. Okay, listen carefully. I didn't read this in a book. I didn't hear anyone preach on this. This came straight from the Lord when I was in the Word. I heard him tell me this. Then I looked it up in Hebrew. And this is what I found. Then the Lord told me this. Look at the central chef. What word is that? Those that find. Those that find. Do you see that? Those that find. So we have, for their life to those that find, and health to all their flesh, all right? So we have those that find. Those who come every Sunday to church are among those that find. Amen. Because only those who seek, find. Yeah. Amen. Those who sleep, dream. Those who jump, fall. Those who find, those who seek, find. Actually, find is correct also. You should say found. All right. So those who seek were fine. All right. So it's obvious that you are all seeking. Amen. 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 When I look at this verse, I salivate. You know, they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. I've been meditating on this verse until my meditator just became rusty. God had to give me a new one. So down through the years, I've been meditating on this verse. I love this verse. I love this verse. In fact, you can tell people's faces by how radiant they are, all right, based on the time they spend in the Word. When you see somebody with a face that's depressed, morose, okay, you know they don't spend enough time in the Word, because you cannot spend time in the Word without your face shining. Amen. So there is a shine that goes beyond natural beauty. I've seen girls who look ordinary, but when they shine, my goodness, they surpass girls who are beautiful but empty. Kosong. Nothing. It's just, you know, and that kind of thing cannot hold a marriage. It is the radiance, the life that's abundant, the unselfishness, the character that holds the marriage. And of course, guys like to see beauty. God makes beautiful things, amen? So that's okay, but the radiance will make you beautiful. So we have the middle word means what? Fine. Seven words, exactly, in the verse 22. For their life to do. But if you look carefully at the seventh words, the middle of chef, the word for fine, those that fine, all right, it's a long word. You count the letters, what do you have? You have exactly seven letters. So now we have a menorah within a menorah. Do you see that? What is the middle letter? It's God's name, Aleph. Aleph is the first alphabet.
Wow, praise the
Lord. Aleph is used for Abba, God the Father. Aleph, you know, every Hebrew letter I told you has a picture, and the picture is always consistent. Like, Yud is open hand, where you get Yad. All right? Dalet is door. Aleph is sacrificial ox. It's a picture of an ox, Aleph. There, Aleph is a picture of an ox. So it's also the letter for Father. Abba, 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 okay, Father. Now go back again. In verse 22, for this verse, for their life, to those who find them, and health to all their flesh, you have in the Hebrew exactly seven. Then you zero into the central chef, all right, at the word find. And the word find here actually has seven letters. It's a menorah within a menorah. Like Ezekiel saw a circle within a circle in a vision. This is what the Lord showed me. There's a menorah within the menorah. So I was so excited. And God said, you see, why am I excited? What words give life? When I read the word, what words? It doesn't tell you, you know, in Proverbs. So I just attend to my words. My words, you find them. They are life to those who find them. And they are health to all their flesh. So I'm a spiritual glutton. God, show me what words these are. I know you can say, every word of God gives life. But the Ten Commandments gives death. All right? 2 Corinthians 3, the ministry of death and grave on stones. So which part of God's word? What do I need to focus on? So this is an answered prayer from God. Amen. He showed me this. Your main focus, zero into the very central theme of the Bible is always Aleph. The center word is, a central word is find, but it's a menorah itself, seven letters. So that's zero in. All right, zero in. You find the center letter is Aleph, which is sacrificial ox. So when you study the Bible, if you want life, if you want health to all your flesh, focus on Jesus and his finished work.
Amen.
Not on rules and regulations and what to do, what not to do. Those things will fall in place. If your believing is right, you will live right.
Amen.
Like Abraham. Abraham believed right. Are you with me? Are you with me? Amen. Now, this ain't blown your mind just yet because God showed me some more. All right, now in Hebrew, in the rabbinical culture, there is something called gematria, and there's something called, we call it ELS, which is Bible code. Today, they call it Bible code, which is you count certain letters, you have certain revelation, make up a word. All right, equidistant letter sequencing. All right, ELS. Now, if you put this word, okay, for their life, those who find them, and help to all their flesh, I start off. You know what God's name is? Yahweh. Look at Yahweh. You have Yahweh is Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. Now, the reading from right to left. Yud, Hey. Memorize that, okay? Yud, Hey. Because the short form of Yahweh is what? Yah. You say, Hallelujah. Yah. Jeremiah. Yah. Got it? All these names means what? Yah. Yah is God's name. Hallelujah. Hallel is boast. Shout, be clamorously foolish. Dance, rejoice in who? Yah. Yah is Yud Hey. Got it? Are you with me? All right, now, go back to the words in Hebrew. The first Yud, can you find the first Yud? All right? Let's count five, number of grace. I just choose five because God knows I like five, okay? All right, so when he showed me this, I counted five from the first youth. All right, one, two, three, four, five. What do you have? Hey. So you have the name of God, Yah. Now, Yah is the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament. Ready to blow your mind yet? Okay, so that is, what is God saying? God is saying, when you read the word, don't just read about things to do. See Yah. See Jesus. See the Holy One. See the Healer. See Him. To see Him is life. Are you with me? All right? Another one, okay? Another five. Let's go forward, another five. All right, from hey, we have another five letters, okay? Let's go. One, two, three, four, five. We have that Aleph. He stands out again. Got it? Got it? Yeah. We are being consistent here. Aleph, the center of the center verse. Center letter of the center verse is the sacrificial ox. Or Aleph, the father, okay? Because the father and the son is one. So when you study, you must see Father. Not just, I see Elohim, I see Shaddai, I see El Elyon. All these are wonderful names of God to Israel especially. But for us, it's Abba, Father. Starting with the letter Aleph. This letter. Say Aleph.
Aleph.
Oh, you want some more, I think.
Yeah.
So we have Aleph, right? So we have Yah on this side. Then we have Aleph. Let's go another five, shall we? One, two, three, four, five. You have Lamed. What does that mean? Aleph, Lamed is El, the name of God. El for Elohim, short form. Yah is Yahweh, but most of the time they use Yah, all right, like Hallelujah. They use the short form, Yud Hey. All right, El is for Elohim. Can you see Aleph? Lamed, El, like when you say, my name is Joel, that's the word they use, El, Joel, Shmuel, Ezekiel, Eliezer, sometimes El starts first, Eliezer, El. You see how Hebrew people like to put God's name into their name, their children's name, hoping that the guiding force will be God in their life. So Yah is God's covenant name. El is the God who created everything, the God of power. So one is relationship, one is his heart, one is his hand. Are you with me? Powerful, huh? Yeah. You know, when I got this the first time in my study, I was like jumping, you know, in my study, but no one to share. And for me, I got to watch it that I don't share the very same week. I received this months ago, but I must be very careful that I don't share it the very next, you know, sermon. I must know what God wants me. I think you are ready. Yeah. Are you all blessed with this?
Yeah.
Okay, now watch this. Go back again to the seven words. You have El, okay? Now let's zero in. Now, there are so many things more that I believe you can find, but this is what I found, okay? So when you zero in, no, God the Father, where is our Father in heaven today? Our Father is seated on the throne, amen? His Spirit is in all of us, am I right? Am I right? The Father. So Father is spelled Aleph, Bet, okay? Abba, okay? The letter Aleph. The picture is sacrificial ox, isn't it beautiful? All right, the way you see the Father is by looking at Jesus at the cross. Now, when you look at Aleph, the center letter, zero in on the center letter, you have Aleph, right? So let's say you see, this is God's throne. You see Aleph sitting on the throne, the center. Because this is what John saw. When John went to heaven, John said, I saw a rainbow around the throne. Rainbow means what? God promised, I will never again judge you. I will never again punish you. Now, there is a great white throne judgment.
Yeah.
All right, we won't be there. Sorry, you forfeited your chance to be there when you accepted Jesus Christ. And that's the time when God opens up the book and all that you have done will be read. Okay, but for us, we won't be at that throne. We will be, all right, before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ. Listen carefully. We'll see the rainbow.
Amen.
When God put the rainbow in the sky, that means what? No more judgment, no more flood.
Amen.
I place my bow. In those days, they hunt with bow and arrow. When God puts his bow in the sky, it means what? No more shooting judgment. Okay? Only for those who are in the ark. Only for those who are in Christ. You want another one? So if we look at Aleph, the father who is sitting on the throne. No one can draw that. Just imagine, okay? The father is sitting on the throne. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? At the father's right hand. Remember the father told him, sit on my right hand. Binyamin, son of my right hand. Sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Amen. So the Bible says, you know, with every passing day, every time your eyes open, one more enemy less in the universe. Whether you realize it or not, I do not know, but I want to tell you this. With every passing day, the path of the righteous gets brighter. The victory Jesus accomplished at the cross, all right, is being made evident more and more. The Father said to the Son, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So it's the Father's part to get all the enemies that have been defeated at the cross, all right, put them as Jesus' footstool. You know what's the last enemy? The last enemy is death, physical death. The Bible says so in 1 Corinthians 15. The last enemy to be put under Jesus' feet is physical death. And that's why even today people die. All right, even though Jesus conquered death. Because he's awaiting the day that death that has been defeated with power is put under his feet. And then you and I will die no more. In fact, if Jesus comes afterwards, we die no more. We have a new body forevermore. Are you with me? So Jesus is at the Father's right hand. Now, if the Father's right hand, it is your right or left? Okay, talk to me, okay, people? This is very simple, actually. All right? Don't waste my time. If it's the Father's right hand, it is your left, right? Yeah. Let me see, yeah? Yeah, your left, what? Why y'all confuse me? All right? So look at Abba. Central letter is Abba. And this is what God showed me. Look at the right hand. God said, okay, do you see something on the right hand? Yud. Hey. Do you see that? Who is at the right hand? Yud. Hey. Do you see that? That is the name of Jesus. He's in nature. Yah. For Yahweh. Yah. Do you see that? Okay, I just saw something right now. Right now, thank you, Father. At Jesus' right hand is Mem. Mem is the symbol of water. That's the Holy Spirit. This one I just got right now. Right now, as I'm teaching. One thing good is that as you give, God gives. All right? So at the right hand of the Father is, yeah, Jesus. Remember when he came, all right? They said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now, your New Testament is in Hebrew, but if they spoke this in Aramaic or Hebrew, they'll say, prepare the way of Yahweh. Referring to Jesus, John the Baptist has come to prepare the way of the Lord. So the Lord, if you look at the reference in the Old Testament, the Lord there in Isaiah is Yahweh. So Jesus is Yahweh. Remember when he hung on the cross, all right, the epitaph over his head. You know, usually when someone is being judged, all right, and they're being executed at the cross in those days, you put the name and the offense. When Jesus hung on the cross, all right, what was his offense? Pontius Pilate, who is not a Jew, imagine that. He said this, put up Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. His accusation was that they say he's the king. I believe he did out of spite against the Pharisees. He knew Jesus was innocent. So he said, put it up there, Jesus of Nazareth, where he came from. All right, King of the Jews, that's his accusation. He calls himself a king, so he dies. Because there is no king but Caesar. All right, what accusation? This is an accusation, it's a declaration. So he hung on the cross, all right, in three languages of the day. All right, in Greece, as well as in Latin, as well as in Hebrew. You have these three so-called indictment titles up there. Look at it. It says, Yeshua, HaNazari, VeMelech, that's king, the king, HaYahudim, the Jews. Yeshua, HaNazari, VeMelech, HaYahudim, which means what? Yud, He, Vav, He. Right at the cross. Okay? I'm putting the whole thing in letters you understand. The first letter for Yeshua is Yud. Remember the small, like small comma? We saw Yah just now, Yud and He, right? The next one, Ha Nazari, is He. Ve Malek, the king. Ha Yahudim, the Jews. Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. So, literally, the acrostic spells Yud, He, Vav, He at the cross when he hung there. Now, the Jewish people, the Pharisees, when they saw that, what did they say? Put that, change that, they said. Remember that? Then Pontius Pilate says, what I've written, I've written. We do not know whether he understands Hebrew. I doubt he understands Hebrew. All right? But what the Pharisees, the rabbis saw was up there, Yud He Vav He. That's his title when he hung. Isn't it amazing? So at the Father's right hand, go back again to the picture, is Yah. Jesus. Wow. At his right hand is Mem. Okay, church. I'm sure there's so much more. What is God saying to you? Look at the entire verse again in Hebrew. Their life. God's words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Does it mean you look at God's word trying to find laws, responsibilities, do's and don'ts? No, no, no. I'm not saying there's no responsibility. I'm saying responsibility is responsibility. When you see all these things. So, what is the priority? What kind of study gives you life and health to your flesh? The study of Yahweh, Jesus, Elohim. The study of the Father. The study of the sacrifice. Right in the center team, all right, of all you study must be the sacrifice. The sacrificial ox. That's what brings life and health to all your flesh. Are you with me, people? So good, isn't it? I'm going to tell you one more thing. It hasn't blown your mind yet. Just one last one, okay? One last one. This one I received on the same time that God gave me all this. Okay? Go back to the letters in Hebrew. All right? Ki Chaim, Hem. Okay? You look at the letters, okay? By the way, the hyphen, the first letter on the right, extreme right, you have Ki, all right? Kaf and Yud. The hyphen is not a letter, okay? It's a hyphen. They have Jud and all that. That's not a title. That's not a letter, okay? So ignore that. If you look at all the letters and you count, 1, 2, 3, 4, right to the end, real quick, can you count? All right, never mind. I can't wait for you to count, all right? Another service coming up, right? But if you take time to count, you'll find exactly what you find. Very good, June. 27. And she's a fast counter. Our number is there, okay. I was impressed. No wonder Matthew is so successful, all right? Your wife is a mathematician. All right, if you count carefully, you find what? 27, exactly 27 letters. Okay? All right, 27 letters. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right, why is this important? It's 9 times 3, okay? We know that. Why is it important? Why is it important? Because it's from June again. Because New Testament, she said New Testament. New Testament is exactly 27 books. It's a message to the Jewish people. The books that they don't have is the New Testament. Amen. The books they have is the Old Testament. Old Testament is exactly 66 books. Sorry, 39 books. The entire Bible is 66. The Old Testament is exactly 39 books. That's what the Jewish people have. But when Jesus came, then we have the New Testament, which is exactly 27 books. And what is God saying from here? These words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. They are health to all their flesh. They are health to all their flesh. It's a study of the New Testament, folks. Are y'all blessed, church?
Yes.
Amen. And that's why when you study God's word, how many want medicine to all your flesh? Not a medicine just for one area, but hurt another area. Some medicine you take after some time, it is really something that doctors will even advise you not to take for a long duration. There's no medicine like God's medicine. Are you with me? Now, in closing, let me go back to, it's time to close so fast. I've not even come to my message. This is an intro, you know, actually. This is actually the intro. Never mind. My message is what? The power of imperfect faith. But I guess your faith has been perfected. Amen? Your faith has been built. So, go to Abraham's story in Genesis 17. Genesis 17, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. By the way, the Almighty God, this is the first time ever in the Bible, the first mention. that God says, I am Almighty God. Whenever you find this in your English Bible, Almighty God, literally, God is El, Almighty is Shaddai. It's El Shaddai. God is saying, I am El Shaddai. I am the all-powerful one. All right, that's one of the names of God. All right, El Shaddai. Notice El is the Aleph Lamed we saw just now. El Shaddai, I'm Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Notice that it's not be blameless if you want to walk before me. Do you see that? Yes. Okay, one more time. God did not say, only if you are blameless you can walk before me. Amen. God didn't say that. God says, I'm Almighty God. I will be supply for all your needs. Amen. If I give you greater responsibility, rejoice. There's greater supply. Okay, I am Almighty God. Walk before me, enjoy me, commune with me, talk with me, and you know what? You'll be blameless. Amen. Amen. Then I'll make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Next verse. Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. God said, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I've made you a father of many nations. So God gave him his He, the letter He. Right? Remember God's name, Yud He Vav He? Yahweh. Look at God's name, Yud He Vav He. Reading from right to left. Notice the He is mentioned twice. So God has two He's to his name. He. And they say that the way you pronounce He is outbreathing. God made man like a mannequin, all right, from the ground of the earth. Man was motionless, okay, no life. Then God, man became a living soul. So we live by the hey. Hey, every Hebrew alphabet is also a number. They don't have numbers in Hebrew like 1, 2, 3. We have A, B, C, then we have 1, 2, 3. Their one is A. Their two is B. Their letters are their numbers. Got it? So hey is the fifth letter. When they write 5, they put hey. Okay? Are you with me? Yes. All right. So 5 is the number of? You all know this by now. Pastor Prince, why is the number of grace? Get my past teachings, no time ready. All right, hey. So God has how many hays here? 2 hays. God took his hay, he breathed into Abram. Abram's name became Abe. It is Abram. Aleph, Bet, Resh, Mem. All right, Abram, God put hay in between. God breathed and became Abraham. God breathed his grace into Abram. As Abram, he cannot have a son with Sarah, all right? As Abram, Abram actually means father of altitude. But when God breathed hay into him, he became father of multitude. It's one thing to be high father, all right? You can be a godfather and everyone look up to you. You are, you know, you're only benefiting yourself. But when you're a father of many, you are benefiting many. Amen. The grace of God will always make you benefit many. Are you with me, people? So God breathed the hay. Abram became Abraham, father of many. Okay? Are you with me? So let's drop down to the same chapter, and we look at Sarai. Then God said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her. Why the importance of changing the name? Then God says, I'll bless her. With Abram, God says, your name is now no more Abram, but Abraham. And then God blesses him. And by the way, after their names were changed, Isaac came. The promise manifested. Okay? So, look at Sarai, Sarah, and I'll bless her. And look at Sarai, okay? Shin, Resh, Yud. Okay? If you look at the first two letters, Tsar. Even the Russians today, they talk about their Tsar. Ruler. Tsar. Tsar in Hebrew is prince. Lord. Tsar. Yes, sir. Tsar. From sir, some of the English word actually got it from Hebrew. Like your cufflinks, cuff, they call it. And cuff is your hand, cup. All right, some words are transferred, transliterated. Sir is from sar. Yes, sir. Okay, sar. So with a small u, it becomes personal. Sarai, my sir, my lord, my captain. Imagine Abraham calling his wife. My lord, my captain, my sir. And she's known to dominate him, isn't it? The first part. I cannot have children. You go to my maid. And the Bible says Abraham said nothing. She was quite strong. You know, go to my maid. So she was quite domineering. We know that. All right? Because of the Yud, Sarai, it becomes personal. My Lord, I keep on calling. Like a guy says, you know, when I quarrel with my wife, okay, let me tell you this. No matter how we quarrel, I will always have the final word. Yes, sir. Sorry. All right. Sarai. Okay. Now, God breathed. Remember God's name, Yud, Hey. He has two Heys. God breathed his Hey, the other name, into Sarai. The Hey comes in and becomes Sarah. Okay? Now, God removed the Yud and God put the Hey. Now, it means princess. Princess. Do you know, 1 year after this, the baby came. The promise that they've been waiting for years came when grace was imparted. Here's another thing that will blow your mind. I told you just now, every Hebrew letter has a number. Grace is the number what? Five. That is Hey. You know, Yud, that God took away the Yud and God gave her the Hey. Yud is number 10, number of the law. When you're under law, you become legalistic, you become hard. You start becoming right, you know, don't come near me, I'm holier than you. You become self-righteous. That's what the law does. God removed the law and God gives grace. Nothing wrong with the law. The law is good, but grace makes you good. The law cannot make you good. The law is holy, cannot make you holy. Grace makes you holy. Amen. Amen. So God removed the Yud, God gave the Hey. By the way, every Hebrew letter is also a picture. Like Aleph is an ox, all right? Yud is the hen. You can ask any Jewish person, all right? Yud is the picture of the hen, Yad, the hen, all right? Man's efforts. God removed man's efforts and gave man his breath, his grace. Amen. Watch it, God is blowing your way. The Pastor Prince, I've been having problems financially. God is breathing on you. Pastor Prince, I've been having these symptoms in my body. He's breathing on your body now. Pastor Prince, I've been believing God for a child. He's breathing into your womb. Hallelujah. He's breathing Hey. He's breathing grace. Hallelujah. And you'll be fruitful. And kings will come out of you. Amen. Yes. Yud and Hey. Only God can handle the Yud. Works, power, performance. Our part is receive grace. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Oh my goodness. I was going to introduce this and then start my message. But time is up already, so we'll continue next week. Okay? Maybe, if the Lord leads me, then we'll continue. If not, we'll do another sermon. Okay? But I want to show you something real quick in closing. I won't go through the entire sermon, but real quick. The reason I show you all this is because there's so much more I can show you about Sarah and Abraham. But the thing is this, when God spoke to Abraham, go back to the verse again, Sarah shall be her name, I'll bless her and give you a son by her, then I'll bless her, she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be from her. I'll tell you something, okay? Whenever grace comes into your life, kingship flows. Have you noticed that? Romans 5:17, when you receive the gift of righteousness, you reign. You are destined to reign. Only when grace comes into you. All right? So the thing is this, then Abraham fell on his face in the midst of all this revelation that God is talking to him. God literally appeared to him as El Shaddai, the Almighty God. What did Abraham do? He fell on his face and laughed. And said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Ho, 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 ho. All right, do we have verse 18? Then Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And then he started focusing on his other son. Now, what do you call this? Weak faith. But if you read Romans chapter 4, look at Romans chapter 4. For the promise, okay, let's drop down because of time. Verse 16, or drop down. Therefore, it's of faith that it might be according to grace. Verse 17, God said, we read that portion just now, I've made you a father of many nations. We just read that just now in Genesis 17. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead, calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, referring to Abraham. So that he, Abraham, became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, referring to the same event. And the only event just now we read was that his reaction was he laughed. But down here, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead and the deadness of Sarah's womb when he was about 100 years old. Drop down. He did not waver the promise of God through unbelief. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Wow. You know, and I read this and I feel condemned. And people say, look at Abraham, he never wavered. He was so strong in faith. But if you look at his real story, he loved and even recommended Ishmael. So what is happening, Pastor Prince? Look at Sarah. Sarah, Hebrews 11. I'm finishing this real fast. Hebrews 11, 11. By faith, Sarah herself received strength. By faith, say by faith. Sarah received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age. God doesn't care you are past the age, daughters of Sarah. He'll make you young again. Amen. Amen. Why? Because Sarah judged God faithful who had promised. Wow, praise God. Now let's do it a story. Genesis 18, verse 10. And God says, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. So one day the Lord came to visit Abraham and Sarah. All right. Abraham was sitting outside in Mamre, and Sarah was inside. I'm so encouraged to see women even back then, like women today. What was she doing? She was behind inside the tent, an appearance of, I'm here, I'm not bothered, okay? But she was listening. That's why they call it eavesdropping, never Adam dropping. Now, that was a private revelation I got years ago. All right, now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, when the Lord says, Sarah will have a son, what happened? Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself and saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? All this before God renewed her youth. Think about it. Amazing, isn't it? She laughed. But what did we read? Through faith, Sarah received strength. Pastor Prince, why, Pastor? Because there's something that about the righteousness of faith. Let's go back to this and we'll close with this portion, Romans chapter 4. If you look earlier in Romans 4, we read about Abraham not being weak in faith and all that. Look at Romans 4. Just as David also describes. Now, we are about to hear the description of righteousness by faith. Because that's what you are today. You are righteous by faith. David describes the blessings of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Apart from your performance. Nothing to do with you. You only have to receive. Would you like the description of the righteousness? Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. In other words, your past. All your sins are forgiven. Your present, your future is all forgiven. But from now on, you are blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. The word shall not is a very strong negative in the Hebrew. Sorry, in the Greek. Ome. Definitely, positively not impute sin to you. In other words, all right, there are two blessings here. One is that all your sins are forgiven. Number two, that's the first blessing. Number two blessing is God will never impute sin to you. When you fail, when you fall, when you sin, God positively will not impute sin to you. Now, next question, some spiritual policeman will say, how can you say that? God is a holy God. It's because he is holy. He has positively imputed all your sins and mine into the body of Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus today, God will positively, shall not, will not impute sin to you. Okay? Now, don't take my time. I'm finishing. Now, the thing is this. All right, praise God. And the thing is this. Do you know that doubting is sin? Wavering is sin? So the thing is that almost like every time you come with imperfect faith to take communion and you have doubts in your head, faith in your heart, that's what you're taking. You still have faith, but you are wondering, will I receive or not? Let me tell you this. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, she came trembling, all right? And she touched the hem of his garment, okay? And the thing is this. It's not the fullness of faith. It's an imperfect faith. She didn't want to know him. Her faith was selfish and ignorant. It's selfish because she wanted to steal a blessing and she don't care about the healer. She cannot for the healer. All right? So it's selfish. Let's see it that way. All right? It's imperfect because she came by the back. All right? When actually you can come to the front. Even a leper can come to the front and ask him. So he's passing her by already. All right? She's coming behind with the crowd. Multitudes strong. She touched. There's a difference. All right? But she touched with trembling hand. By now, her hand is so skinny. For 12 years, she's suffering this disease, and she's emaciated. But she pick up, all she can do is touch. She cannot pick up higher, maybe. And all she can do is just touch the hem of his garment. One thing about our Lord is this, all right? He's a wonderful Savior. He never says things like this. You think for one moment, my garment has power. Don't you know it's me? And because you only go for my garment, you will not be healed. He will never say that. He's a Lord like this. You really believe your finger on my garment will heal you? Then your finger on my garment will heal you. Amen. He always comes down to our level according to your faith, be it unto you. This is our Lord, all right? Don't let anyone tell you otherwise, all right? When you come believing to him, believing, that's why you come, yet doubting. There are people who teach, because there's doubt in your heart, you cannot come or you won't receive. Let me tell this. We are funny creatures, all right? We can be persecuted, but not forsaken. You know, that kind of thing. We can be believing, yet doubting. Your heart believes, your head, what if, you know? But come, because when you come believing, yet doubting, he will forgive the doubt and answer the faith. He will forgive the doubt and answer the faith. He's the kind of Jesus. Amen. Come to him. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, the thing is that every time Abraham laughed, it's not recorded in God's book. Every time Abraham believed God, it's recorded. Every time Sarah laughed, it's not recorded. When Sarah believed God, it's recorded. Because the same instance, the same statement when Sarah says, shall I have pleasure? She was laughing. Shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. You know what God record in 1 Peter 3? That Sarah called Abraham my Lord. When she did right, God record down. When she laughed, it's not recorded. And later on, she argued with God. And oh, by the way, I don't have time to show you. She said, I didn't laugh. God says, you laugh. I didn't laugh. She said, no, you laugh. You can go back and read it. So the thing is this, every time you start talking nonsense, down here you say, praise God, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Jesus is my healer. Praise God. Then after that, Monday you wake up, you tell your wife, I feel horrible. Pray for me. You even go to your four-year-old, pray for daddy, you know. But no one sees, and you are the pastor of the church. No one sees that. And you're wondering, but God sees. Now will I still receive my miracle? Well, those days God didn't record. those actions God didn't record. You talk nonsense, God didn't record it down. Well, Pastor Prince, haven't you read? Jesus said in the Gospels, every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. We won't be in the day of judgment. I'll tell you why, because that was written before he died. Every man in the world will give an account for their words, their thoughts, and statements. We don't have to, because our sins are past, present, and future forgiven. Okay? I'll close. I must close, lah, y'all. Okay, watch this. What he's saying is this. By the way, that woman wanted to steal a blessing away. Her faith was imperfect. It was weak. It was selfish, but genuine. And Jesus arrested her. She thought of stealing a blessing away. She wanted to receive from his hand. Many people want to receive from his hand. They're not interested in his heart. He's more interested that she knows his heart. So that she won't feel that she stole a blessing, but that it was given freely. Amen. So he asked, who touched me? You all know the story. She owned up. And he wasn't trying to embarrass her. All right? But he says, she's the only woman in the gospel. You can check it out. Only woman that Jesus says in Hebrew, Aramaic, Betty, which means my daughter. Literally, he calls her daughter. Be of good comfort. Your faith. Your faith. Not your finger. Your faith made you well. Go in peace. Because if she does everything in the dark, it's like a plant you put in the dark room. It becomes weak and sickly. But if you're a Christian, testify openly, and that plant of faith will grow, become flourish, bear fruits, flowers, amen, and give sweet fruit. You understand? Yes. Amen. So he says, don't be afraid of your unbelief when you come to me. Don't be afraid of your needs. I know all your needs. Don't be afraid of your doubts in your heart. I know all about it. Be afraid of one thing, not coming to me. be afraid of one thing. Be afraid that when I pass by to bring life, health, and blessing to other people, you are passed by. Be afraid of that. All right? But never be afraid to come in spite of your misgivings, in spite of your doubting, in spite of your disbelief. Just come. Because coming to him is believing in him. In John 6, he says this. John 6, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, he who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Coming to him and believing him is the same thing. Amen. The devil says, unless your heart is full of faith, you cannot come. No, come believing yet doubting. And he will forgive the doubt and answer the faith. Okay, every head bowed, every eye closed all across this place. Have you been blessed? Give Jesus the praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that's why it's important, church, that we see ourselves the way God sees us. Many of you, you know, on your way here, or maybe yesterday, you start looking at all the things you've done wrong. You look at your coldness. You start to fear your coldness. You look at your doubts, and you start to fear your doubts. You look at your lack of understanding of Jesus, and you start fearing it. No, no, don't be afraid of all this. Be afraid of only one thing. The Savior is passing by to bring salvation and life to others. Don't let him pass you by. Feeble as your hand is, reach out. It's yours for the taking. And for believers, if it's healing you need, you might have heard sermons that talk about faith, great faith, strong faith. Even those who had great faith, they had a great revelation of who Jesus is. But forget about all that for a while. This woman is a perfect example of reaching out with feeble hands, maybe even superstitious, imperfect, weak, but genuine, selfish, yet he gave. And there are teachings that say if you're selfish, rid your heart of selfishness before God can give you. This story destroys all that. For many a times we become selfish, but I tell you this, the gift he gives you will make you unselfish. You want others to come too. You see, Jesus is in all his gifts. But Jesus is more than all his gifts. Before we are cured, it's understandable we think about disease. But believers, after we are healed, it's time to think of the healer. Let's go for Jesus. Let's not just go for healing, let's go for the healer. With every head bowed here and also everywhere that's watching this, you see, Pastor Prince, pray for me. I want Jesus Christ to come into my life. I want my sins forgiven. I want to know when I walk out of the halls today, I know that all my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, that God is my Father, and all is well with my soul. If that is you, wherever you are, I want you to pray this prayer from your heart. Wherever you're watching this, say this from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus is your Son, the Son of God, who died on that cross for all my sins. He bore my judgment, my penalty, and all my condemnation. He became my curse that I might be blessed, forgiven, and justified. I am blessed because all my sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven me. When I fail, when I fall, I am blessed because you will never impute sin to me. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son. Jesus Christ is my Lord forever. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
He that spared not his own son, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? That means both now and forever and ever, God will supply and supply and supply freely all things that you will ever need.
This month, get your copy of Believe in a God Who Freely Gives 4-CD audio series as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Join Joseph in this faith-building resource and discover why you can boldly receive what God has freely given to you through Jesus and his finished work at the cross. And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will also receive an exclusive gift set, which includes 2 customized scripture banners and Joseph's brand new DVD resource, How to Pray and See Results. Learn how you can pray effective prayers because of Jesus's finished work and begin to receive your breakthroughs.
Praying earnestly is actually a prayer of declaration. When you declare, for example, somebody has a problem with depression, then you say, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of depression, loose that person and let his mind go free in the name of Jesus. You are declaring God is your solution.
Let your faith arise to boldly receive from God today. Get your copy now at josephprince.org. Or call us toll free at 877-901-4300.
My first husband, we found cancer and he passed away within 8 weeks of us finding that out. And my daughter at the time was about 6 months old, and when he passed away she was 9 months old. Pastor Prince talks about 120% restoration in life, and God restoring what he didn't take away, and that's absolutely what happened in my life. God was good and I didn't know what was going to happen, and really from that he returned to me and restored in my life family and a father for my daughter, and I mean a happiness I've never known.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.